Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I can say that honestly now because I am finally awake. So it's true. I am, again, not Pastor Doug Callison. He called me yesterday afternoon, and I interpreted from the noises he made that God wanted him to be more quiet for a time and to rest. So he is at home recovering right now. His voice, I guess he finally realized he could be propped up, but you could not really hear or understand what he was saying. So he is occupational hazard. He is at home resting, and I'm just honored to be here again with you guys this morning to worship. So again, my name is Pastor Kermit Rickenberg, and let us begin with the sharing of the peace, shall we? Let us begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say that we have no sin, we go about deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, he has given his Son to die for you, and it's for his sake that he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace, excuse me, for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Let us pray together.
O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
Hear now the scriptures appointed for this day. We hear first from Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of Solomon, where he points out the single place our minds and spirits should be. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him you can eat, or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from St. Paul's writing to the Colossians and has very much the same focus. It reads as follows: If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which all is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming in those who too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his Creator. Here then is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods built up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. Thank you.
mercy and peace be unto you all from our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning I want us to think briefly about the idea that God could solve all of your life's problems without somehow changing your values. Or maybe think of it from the other way. Would we really be willing to change our values even if God said that that's what you should do to have the solution in your life? Now, is solving our materialistic matters the primary purpose of Jesus? And to make things even more complicated, what if our heart is too self-centered on our earthly property and our earthly things? How should God answer us and point us in the right direction to understand the greater heavenly things? If you've ever seen a small child, if you've ever seen a small child try to reach up and touch the moon when it's full, it seems kind of cute because the moon is so full, and to the little child it seems so close. But we know that that is foolish. We know that that delusion does not make any sense. And it's the type of delusion, I think, that we as adults, that we end up living our lives through when we think that true happiness can somehow be found in wealth or accomplishments or fame or maybe in living a long, healthy life where everything seems to go your way. All of these things we know can be gifts from God, but they always can leave us a feeling kind of empty if they're all that we have. And so it's better to find peace with God than to be stuck chasing after billions of advertising things telling you that you can't live your life unless you have this or that. And so Jesus, in today's parable, he talks about these brothers who are disputing over property, and he wanted them in the crowd and us to learn the greater lesson involving all these things. And when people hear Jesus talk about parables like this involving rich men, they often think that somehow Jesus is all about putting rich people down and raising up the poor. But there's none of that in this. There's none of that political idea or philosophy in this parable today. You see, God gave this man a huge crop, a huge harvest, and he logistically, like any of us in his shoes, decided, well, what am I going to do to take all these extra crops? And he decides he's going to get rid of his old barns that are smaller and has to get really big ones to be built to hold the new crop. He was very hardworking and clever. Jesus then calls this rich man at this point a fool, which in the original language that Jesus uses here, it literally means one with no sense. Thus, he is a rich man, Jesus is saying, with no sense about what to do next. He was hardworking and clever enough to become rightfully rich, and he knew how to store those riches wisely. But Jesus' point is that he has no idea, no sense of what he should do next with those riches wisely. Now, folks, we don't have to become rich farmers to relate to this parable. Jesus knows that you and I get what we deserve from our labors. We work hard. We're clever. We're diligent. We get our wealth. We get part of our bread. We get our paycheck. We get our salary. We get some of our share of the profits. Our taxes are paid. Our retirement, hopefully, is saved up and earned. And maybe we set some of it aside and into the banks and the barns and the investments. And hopefully, we're paid off our high interest debts. Or maybe you're just starting out in life financially. We, in our own ways, are rich men and women today. And God causes some of the opportunities that we work hard for in life to give us a bumper crop, to give us those unexpected good times, the ones where sometimes we say, about time. And our Heavenly Father, He delights in doing this for everyone. Whether you believe in Him or not, as the scriptures say, He causes the rain to fall on the good and the bad alike. But what do we do next? What sense do we have when we are given huge and unexpected blessings and riches? It's like that question I always think of about this, that, you know, what would happen if you won $1 million? What sense would you have? What would you do with it next if you won $1 million? And the rich man with no sense, well, his answer, he reasoned to himself how best to enjoy all this good fortune for himself. He literally said to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Go ahead and take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And through this, Jesus echoes the satire of Ecclesiastes by Solomon, the preacher, one who could frankly speak more on the warning and trappings of all these things than any of our richest alive today. Think about that. All is well. Good times. Let's eat. Let's drink. Let's be merry. Let's go party. Let's get a bigger vacation. Let's binge watch all of our favorite shows, movies, tunes, games, books, if you still read. There's no sense to it, it seems, at times. There's no meaning to these things other than that which we get it from just hanging out, eating and drinking and being married. And we escape nothing from this world at such times. We only seem to forget how selfish and sinful we are for a time. And Jesus gives parables like this to us to very much challenge the little faith that we have, to realize that our life could be demanded at us at this very hour. You don't have to be at just some calamitous spot in the country when some unexpected tragedy happens. Just doing ordinary things. There's no sense we become self-centered fools when we forget to use these gifts that God has given us wisely and to the glory of the one who gave them to us. And thus God's kingdom and our neighbors, they often then will just get the scraps of our extra wealth here and there. Now, some will say God demands that. The answer is that, well, you shall give it back, or else. But no, my friends, God gave you His Spirit to help give you the sense, not the confused nonsense that people often think about God and wealth, to give you the meaning and the opportunity to be generous with God and your neighbor, to be truly more like the image of God that He created you into. You see, folks, real hope and real happiness is found in having that sense towards being rich towards God and your neighbor. This is the real richness. It's not sexy like so many commercials, but here it is. Here is the sense that pushes back against the empty selfishness. To settle for anything else less, Jesus illustrates, is foolish. Even the misfortune and the heartache that we have in our lives at times, they remind us of this lesson. And God is not there giving you trouble. He is always reminding you and me of little faith, where true wealth and happiness are to be found in Him and in serving our neighbors. Now, there once was a young woman who snuck into her car late at night. And before she had so much freedom that she could do anything she wanted to do, but now she feels overwhelmed by the burden of her unwanted pregnancy and is all alone. And she thinks that now she'll be able to live with a fresh start, terminating the pregnancy, maybe go off to college, and for many years, escape the burdens of teen pregnancy, eat, drink, and be merry. But why does she not feel better as she drives away? She remembers a cross necklace she got long ago from a friend. And now she wonders where that cross necklace went after all of these years. And all of a sudden, her cross, her trust in Jesus, becomes her greatest treasure. And all of the other possessions, all of the other freedoms and hopes that she had seems meaningless to her without Jesus. And she says to her soul, "This will not make me feel better. This will not give me freedom, peace, or laughter." And so she pulls off to the side of the road to pray for a moment. She maybe will put the baby up for adoption or keep it somehow, but she turns around home, driving with hope and purpose, and renewed now by the cross that she never wore. She puts her trust in Jesus to be her greatest treasure, and she pushes a grin off of her tired body. The extra freedom, the extra things that she wanted in life, she knows cannot save her. Those things got her into this mess, but only Jesus can save her from it. And he has. Jesus has saved all of us from our wild freedoms and wild possessions. Jesus teaches us to take care and be on your guard against all forms of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's the wicked, frankly, who have the biggest burden. Anytime we think, "Oh, I wish I could have what they have, or they have it easy." No, it is the wicked who have the burden of collecting more and more stuff, only to be rich towards themselves. But the righteous, they have the true joy. They have the true riches by trusting in Jesus as their greatest treasure. And God, he knew in advance the scene that night. For where that young woman was driving in her car, there was also a rich, foolish man driving his car right next to her. They were crossing a bridge together, and unexpectedly, catastrophically, the bridge collapsed. And then God said to the rich man, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And honestly, like us, we can relate. The man was only rich towards himself, and none of his wealth, none of his cleverness, none of his excuses could save him from hell. And then God says to the young pregnant girl driving home, "Daughter, the night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" And like us of little faith, the things she prepared, the things she collected, the things she tried to do that could not save her, she believed that and just learned that with a little faith that only Jesus matters in the end. And she had learned to be rich towards God and even towards her neighbor inside her. "Well done, my dear daughter. Rejoice now in being rich towards God, here in heaven forever. Amen." And now may the peace of God keep our hearts and minds always learning and yearning to be rich towards God and our neighbor. Amen. Thank you. and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all of the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
Now let us pray for all of God's people and to everyone according to their needs. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given us your Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we give you thanks then for this redemption you prepared for us, and that by your Spirit we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness and salvation through his body and blood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also lift up to you our prayers and concerns here at Trinity.
Dear Heavenly Father, the church offers up this prayer to you for blessing and success in open heart surgery for Lori. We just commend her into your hands and all the surgeons and all the medical staff that will be ministering to her. We just ask you to guide them and lead them and grant her your peace and success in the surgery. We ask these things, Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, we lift up to you our prayers and concerns over the nations of the world, that their governments, their leaders might govern wisely and peacefully, that you would be patient with our leaders at the federal level, the state level, the local level, that you would send us good governance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we ask that you be with us, whether it's our time of need or it's a good time. Be with those in times of unexpected tragedy and those with expected good times. Help us to always be mindful of you and to help us to remember that our true riches lie in you and serving your neighbor, being your hands and feet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend now, Lord, all these things to you, trusting that you will answer them in your own time, and that those things that are upon our heart, known only to you, that they are not far from you. All these things we pray until you return to us from your kingdom. We pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's in the same way also that he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all of your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.
These are our announcements. Thanks to everyone who came out for the campus work day. Your efforts are greatly appreciated. Thanks for taking such good care of your church home. Get ready for our annual blessing of the backpacks in all services on the weekend of August 10th and 11th. All students, bring your backpack and you'll be called up for a blessing and receive a backpack tag from your Trinity family. On that Saturday, August 10th, the CDC open house takes place before worship, and we'll have food trucks in the courtyard from 4 to 6 p.m. to feed everyone before church. You're welcome to come between 4 to 6 to eat and meet some of our CDC families before we all head into worship together, where we'll bless backpacks and dedicate the CDC teachers for the upcoming school year. Also, Rally Day kicks off our Sunday school year. Children 4 years through fifth grade and the middle school and high school group will begin to meet on Sunday, August 18th. Choir begins August 28th and rehearses on Wednesday evenings at 7:30. Anyone interested in singing in Trinity's parish choir is welcome. No one is turned away. There are details in the weekly with contact information. Make a more joyful noise. And if you'd like to sing for just one Sunday every once in a while, Make a Joyful Noise is for you. This group meetings several times a year for a quick rehearsal and singing in one service. The first service date is set for September 15th at the 100th anniversary worship service. If you'd like to participate, let us know. All the details are in your Trinity Weekly. Thank you.
Serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.